Hello, church. How are you? You know, something, thanks, music team, something that's hard to quantify or really give words to, there's something special about singing words like, you have no rival, you have no equal, that you are beyond and more than we can comprehend. Do you get, what I mean? I know I just sensed that this morning, that before I go on with whatever I'm going to speak about, but just that sense of God is God and we are not. Yeah? And there's something in ourselves that when we put that on Him, we get to be in the right place. We sense that we're in the right place, that we are who we're meant to be, which is He's God and we are not. And doesn't that take some pressure off? Yeah? Just love that. Love that ability to come together as a gathered church together and sing those words and mean those words and sense His presence. It's good. It's good? It's good. So I wanted to speak to you this morning. Yes, I am going to mention food. Mike put in lovely stuff about pavlovas and stuff that I was going to talk about. And yes, I will talk about food. But I've changed slightly theme this morning into live questionable lives. So I feel like God is calling us to live questionable lives. Maybe that will make more sense a bit later on, rather than going, what are you talking about, Jase? There's numbers of people here that have known me for a good while. There's a guy on the computer over there that I met in year 8, Jason McKevin, and he's known me for a long time. And he would know that I've lived this out at some stages in my life in different ways. Definitely lived a questionable life. And so, I probably say this most times I get up, I still am surprised that I'm standing here and you are there and I'm speaking in a church. It makes a little bit no sense to me sometimes from where I thought I might have been leading my life or where I was going or where I was thinking, especially as a teenager, where I wanted it to go. It was not here. But God's love grabbed me. Yeah? That God loved the world came to be something I started to understand, including me. Not that just God loved the world, but He loved me, even me. And it was that scene lived out amongst the community, scene lived out amongst a family of people that started to make sense to me. That the church isn't just a place we come and volunteer a bit of our time, or a place that's where we meet God, but it's actually the body. It's actually the body of Christ, that we are the body showing the world that God loves all. Yeah? That is so exciting. And that's why when I read Acts and the early church of how they live that out, it really excites me. So I want us to look at Acts 2. Just after Peter spoke that first sermon and the Holy Spirit came down and did crazy things amongst them and 3,000 come to be followers of Jesus. It talks about how they did that, how they were the body of Christ, how they were church. They said, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave it to anyone in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in the homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number, daily, thank you, eyes going weird, for those who are being saved. Who gets really excited when they hear about that, hear that idea of church, yeah? Who gets a little bit sad when it feels like maybe not quite their experience of church? Anyone? Don't get me wrong, there's parts of that where we do experience, do we, at some times. But when it's all stuck together in a nice little neat bow of sentences and passage, we go, oh man, is that in my experience? I would like to remind us the next verses, it's people not giving their property, yeah? And the difficulty of all of that means. This is, yeah? It was defined by this, but it wasn't always this. Yeah? We can read further in the early church and the Corinthians and the letters that went to different churches that they weren't always getting this right. And we can hold some feeling of realizing, yeah, we don't always get this right. But that is something to aspire to, isn't it? That the body of Christ lived out is in those words, I think. That a church together, meeting together in the temple, doing stuff together, and then scattered in their homes, breaking bread. You know, it was at that time, it was called, when they met together in their homes, the love feast. Yeah? That we've turned into communion and that we've turned into the tiny little bit of bread and wine. And really important for us to remember, Jesus said for us to meet together and be reminded of what he did for us. But the way they lived that out back then was love feast. That sounds like a cool words together, doesn't it? That people would want to come together and be a part of. I'm reminded when I think about body, that there's actually two parts quite often. Oh, there's more parts of that body, but these are the two bits that I want us to look at and see at, even in the passage there of Acts. That we usually tend to move one way or the other, but we don't do both very well. You know, in your body, there's something called a skeleton. Yeah? Bones together. You've probably seen, who's seen a skeleton? There's one actually over at the school in the gym. Just a skeleton, a human skeleton by itself. Anyone seen one of those? Yeah? That's the structure of our body, isn't it? Holds it together. And then we have the flesh and bones that do stuff. Yeah? Skeleton is the structure. Flesh and bones do stuff. Anyone tried hugging a skeleton? Anyone? Now, Ben, you probably have tried to hug that skeleton down there, haven't you? Hey, look, it's possible. Yeah? But does it feel right? No. There's something about the flesh. There's something about what that is, the passion, the heart, all the bits and the sinew that makes worth hugging. Yeah? It's soft and more pliable and able to move in a way that's joins. I think there's a good example of what I think church is meant to be, is a gathered space and a scattered space. That the body of Christ is lived out, gathered and scattered. In Acts 2, so it talked about that they met in the temple together, but they lived that out in their households. In their households. Yeah? They come together to hear from God and learn and be encouraged. But where it actually hit the road, where flesh was put on the bones, was in the scattered places. Yeah? Body of Christ, the skeleton, the flesh. Another way, maybe, it makes sense to you. Discipline and passion. The body of Christ is meant to have a rhythm and a discipline to it, but it's got to have a passion too. And one without the other doesn't actually work. A skeleton can't be the body of Christ, and the flesh can't be the body of Christ. We can already see the problems there, can't we? The skeleton, yeah, it can have some structure, but it can't be lived. But the flesh, it's just flesh in a corner, it can't do anything. Yeah? I know personally, I've been part of churches, yeah, that are more one way than the other. And in fact, so often are a reaction to one another, aren't they? that one that has structure without the flesh of living, we go, oh man, it's got to be about the other. And so people get part of church movements or church where we don't need to gather anymore. We can just hang out and be. And it loses something because it doesn't have the discipline to live it out. In the same way they need each other. We're either or. It's a place we get fed or we live it out. You know, usually, I'm sure all of us in some way tend to one way or the other. Yeah? We're people who like order, or we're people that like spontaneity and the organic. Even in me speaking, you probably already know the type that I am personally. And have definitely at times moved towards that way in the way that I've wanted to do church. Yeah? But I'm a jellyfish sometimes. Yeah? I've got no bones. I've got no backbone. Yeah? I'm pointless in that way. You get a nice hug from me, but you know, like, yeah. It leads, actually, to being unhealthy disciples. If it's what we're called to be as churches, be disciples of Jesus, we're missing something when we tend to go one way or the other. And I want to give you another picture that a church that just cares about learning ends up being bulimic. They take in and take in and take in, and on their way home, they throw it up and don't ever use it. Doesn't become any part of who they are. Unhealthy. Yeah? And a church that's only interested in trying to make the flesh be, it's actually anorexic. It's getting no time with God and to be present through His Holy Spirit. To feel. It's unhealthy disciples. So how do we walk that line of in between? I want to read from Colossians 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should, and me to speak clearly as I read. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Love these verses here. Devote yourselves to prayer. Spend time with God. Come together as gathered church. Be connected to Him. But there is a need. There's a point for the body of Christ. The body of Christ is wanting to proclaim God's love and reign in this world. His love and grace and reign. And how that can be done? There's actually two ways that they talk about in that. And two distinctions I think are interesting. Is that Paul's talking about proclaiming the message and proclaiming the mystery of Christ. And there's people that have the gift to be able to proclaim. But then there's something else that he talks about. He's saying, actually, make the most of every opportunity you have. Let your conversations be full of grace and seasoned with salt so that you can answer everyone. So there's two ways there. There's proclaim and answer everyone. There's people that have the gift to actually proclaim Jesus, but everyone should be able to have an answer for people's questions. The opportunities that arise in our lives, we should live lives that people want to know. Why? Why do you live this way? Grab those opportunities and answer. Yeah, we are all called to be that body of Christ. The beautiful picture in Corinthians talking about the body of Christ and that all the bits do different things and have different functions. Yes, that's true. like the proclaiming, we have different functions. But as part of the body, we are all called to have an answer. We're all called to live a life that is actually questioned. Yeah? We're all called to live these questionable lives, these lives that actually look different than the world, that the words that we know and the God that we know who loves us and has grace for us is actually lived out in our daily lives. If we just come here and this is our only embodiment of church, then we're missing something. If this is the only place you come and even try and get community within that of the community, we're missing something. I think we're called to be these spaces and places of church within our daily lives, in our homes, in our households. I want to show a DVD video Jason's got up for us. And I want you to think about the feeling that it invokes. Okay. This is her first day.
This is my favorite.
This is my favorite.
Okay.
This is Danny.
This is Scout.
This is awesome. This is Bessie.
This is your baby sister.
This is a disaster.
This is Leo. This is my boyfriend.
This is not a toy.
This is the last time.
This is you.
The hilarious thing is Happy is an organic food company in America. Because organic food will live lives, help you live lives like this. What was it, the feeling that invoked in you? It elicited something. What was it? Joy? Happiness? Sharing? Life's messy. That's interesting, isn't it? So what we're saying is life's messy, but there's joy in messiness. Yeah? Kids get that. Yeah? We sometimes struggle, but kids get that. Need to be reminded of that again and again. Yeah? Anything else? Yes, life is up and down. Yes, it's experiential. Life is lived. Life isn't a word that's a noun stuck there. It's lived. And I thought that's what was so impressive from the ad was eliciting that feeling to try and connect that to a product. But the feeling was through this phrase, this is. This is. What it was saying is, right now. Who you are right now, what you're feeling right now, the right now is life. That nature of it's not about before or after or the plans or the regrets. It is lived right now. Yeah? That messiness, that joy is found in this is hard as much as this is unexpected. This is beautiful. This moment right now. What am I trying to say in this? This is family. Yeah, this is family lived. And I think sometimes for us who are trying to live this out as Christians, as a family, We make the mistake, and that's what I want to speak into in for us as a church, is sometimes we think our gathered space is going to do that for us. We think we come along on a Sunday every Sunday, and we hope that that's the experience we're going to get. Now, sometimes it can. But the gathered space is for us to connect to God and get that experience. But the experience of life lived cannot be here. Don't get me wrong, this is really important. But if we think this is all that church is, we're missing it. We're missing it. Church is life lived. And I want to encourage you to think about what that looks like in your lives. How do I live that out? What do I need to do? What are the rhythms of my life? There's a couple I wanted to get up now, talk about a rhythm in their lives. And Romo, Lauren, would you like to just come up the front, if that's okay? I'm going to use one of the mics. Welcome them up. Black. Let you share. And I've left my questions behind, so I've paired you for these questions. You know I was going to say, that's good.
No, I know.
Very good. I'm glad. So Lauren, all these guys wouldn't know why I've got you up, but there's a rhythm to you guys in your lives that you've had for a while from your family that you do. Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm one of three girls, and my parents have started doing a family dinner. So we started that, I think, once we got married. My mum's in the crowd. Or when Cameron, our eldest, was born, I think that's when we started it. So we have every second Wednesday night, we go to mum and dad's for dinner with all the family.
So that's 11 years, basically.
Yeah, with 10 children under 11. And one on the way for my sister, so nearly 11.
Why?
my mum and dad really value relationship, and within our family, to build relationship, we need to spend. Excuse me, I had to get nervous up here. We need to spend quality time together. So that's one reason, one of the reasons why mum and dad started that.
That's one of the reasons, mum and dad. What about for you?
For us?
Yeah. What?
What does it mean to us?
Yeah.
For us, for me personally, because it's a home that I grew up in. It's a real safe haven for me and for our kids, and it's routine for them, and it's stability for them and for us as a family. And we've been through the highest of highs and the lowest of lows with everyone in the family, from dad having cancer to my sister lost a baby to it all happened on a Wednesday, and we were able to share a meal, pray, cry, laugh.
Yeah. Has that been hard to keep doing, though? Is that hard rhythm to actually commit to?
Because we love it so much, it's been really easy for us, personally. Right. Yeah.
Remo, you've been drawn into this. Yes.
What, do you want me to tell you what the question is?
Yeah, tell me what the question is. That would be really helpful.
All right. So the question...
I needed some structure, so I'm glad you gave me my skeleton.
The question was, is it hard, has it been hard or weird for me? It hasn't been weird because I come from an Italian background family, so you can understand the meals that we've had over the time. Has it been hard? It has been a bit hard because now I don't get to do it with my family because mum and dad aren't together anymore, sister lives in Melbourne, brother lives in Sydney, so... I guess Lauren's family is my family. So when they say when you marry your wife, you marry your family, it's definitely true in this situation. The other question was, Jace, was...
Yeah. I'll just sit down.
You sit down. Was what it means to me. And look, it does. It means an awful lot to me, not personally. We've been doing it for 11, 12 years now, so it must definitely mean something. There's 18 of us that gather every second Wednesday night. It's just an awesome feeling. So going there, I sit down sometimes and not say too much because I'm just looking around thinking how blessed we are to be able to gather every Wednesday night. So, every second Wednesday night. So on a Wednesday, my father-in-law works for us, I'll ask him, so what's Mum cooking tonight, you know? So it's just something that we look forward to all the time. We actually had to knock a wall down inside the house to make room for us all. So the room's bigger now. I'm serious. I'm not joking. So it means an awful, awful lot to us, for sure. Yep.
That's great. Thanks, guys. Thanks for sharing.
Here you go.
I wanted those guys to share just that rhythm of their life because whether sneakily mum and dad knew, they're creating church for their family in the way that they lived, and they had to sacrifice to make that happen. People have to decide that that's going to be the most important and end up shaping the way they did things, including knocking down walls because they valued something that was important. A household committed to loving one another, being Jesus to one another. Yeah? Blessing one another, eating with one another. You know, there's three things Jesus said that the Son of Man came to do. Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The Son of Man came to serve and not be served. And the Son of Man came to eat and drink. Hallelujah. Three things the Son of Man came to do. The eat and drink obviously was to be with, to incarnate, be with us. But it says eat and drink, be together. Is there a better way that's spiritual in nature? Our communion is eat together. Son of Man come to eat and drink together. I want to encourage you to think about who do you include in that space? Who could you make a household of? It's a word in the Greek called oikos. An idea Romans took as well of the household. It was past what we've considered our households now in the West, where we've gone this nuclear family thing. The household was bigger than that. It was that sort of size, the 20 sort of size. Yeah? Who is it that you could include in that space and be church with? Because I think it's more than just sometimes even immediate family. For some of us, that might be where it is. But for some of us, it is who are the people around on the fringe? Who are the people that you're wanting to show Jesus to? Who are the people you're wanting to be church with? Some of those people will not be followers of Jesus. And hopefully some are. But that is the place that we can be church. That is the place. So I want to encourage you to think about the sacrifice of making a day. Maybe it's weekly, maybe it's fortnightly. And who might be with? So I think that's the nature of what church looks like, lived. It's too often, I think, for us in the West, we go to those spaces and we make it a Bible study. And don't get me wrong, it's really important. Learn is a really important value. But as I said before, I think our problem isn't that we know too little, it's that we don't put it into practice. I think we look more bulimic. Yeah? I think you guys have heard stuff from here more than you've put into practice, and I speak for myself in that place too. Agree? Let me pray. Lord God, search our hearts. I think I spoke about something this morning that we all have a yearning for God, to be known by you, but be known together with others, in a place that we can love others and be loved and live out what you've called us to be. Lord God, show us the next steps forward, whatever that might be. Maybe that is some structure that we need to put into our lives. Maybe that's some disciplines we need to put into our lives. But for some of us, God, it's making a space to live this out. That we wouldn't worry about making it a show. So often, God, when we ask people to our houses, everything has to be right. Let us be okay about living this out in the mess. That we would be advocates of the messy tea. That you would show us who we can love and who can be loved by in our own homes or with others. Lord God, that we would be people who look to bless, look to eat, look to listen, look to learn, and look to be sent. Because this is your body. And it's your body that will change the world to be a place that knows you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for listening to me, guys. I've been reading a book as well over this time called Family on Mission. It's actually quite a small book, so even someone like me can read it. 70 pages, approximately. Really clear about the idea of how family can be our space of mission, how that we can do this and live this out and be flesh. So if you're interested, I've got a few more of these. Come and see me after. Love to talk to you about it. We have the chance to do a bit of this in a massive group tonight as well. There'll be households all over the place on this oval. Yeah? And we hope and pray that this is where God continues to use us, isn't it? Yes.